I didn't like that one.
We've got breaking news now. We are learning the U.S. government is working to respond to the pirate attacks on Americans.
In recent months, Somali pirates have been capturing the headlines.
The largest ship ever seized by these pirates carrying $100 million of crude oil.
Forcing the world to focus on Somalia, a nation whose troubles are often ignored. But who are these young men who embark on these reckless missions? And what motivates them to carry out their audacious attacks?
They are capable of anything. If the world does not come up with a solution to tackle the issue, it will take a far worse turn.
Somalia, a peninsula dominating an important waterway, overlooking both the Gulf of Aden, leading to the Suez Canal, and the entrance of the Indian Ocean. A busy naval route that was once a center of commerce with the rest of the ancient world. Its strategic position enticed colonial powers to split the country, leaving the northern shore to be controlled by Britain. But this is also a land of nomadic people, embroiled in almost two decades of violence and famine. Since the Somalia government's collapse in 1991, the country of 10 million has not had a proper government. Unable to control its own capital, Mogadishu, anarchy flourished and has now spread to its territorial waters. For almost a generation, young men in Somalia have been raised by the law of the gun amid dwindling quantities of hope.
To speak only of piracy alone is an injustice to Somalis, because it's an illness, just as a high fever is a symptom of TB. Piracy is a result of a lack of government. The world has forgotten about Somalia. No support has been given to governments here. No genuine support.
Bosaso, the commercial center of the semi-autonomous state of Puntland. An important Somali port responsible for importing the essentials which the population depends upon. But the people of Puntland are also heavily reliant upon fishing for their subsistence. And conflict in the fishing industry was a direct precursor of the current problems.
Piracy began as a reaction to trawlers taking advantage of the lack of government in this country and scooping its resources. But when the trawlers armed themselves against the pirates, they turned their attention to commercial ships. And the huge ransoms they received created the free-for-all going on today. Many fishermen in Bosaso, I was told, were lured by the huge gains from piracy.
The local fishing industry has suffered at the hands of pirates. The owner of Las Coray Fish Factory once employed 1,500 people, but was forced to close down with the threat of foreign fleets mistaking their boats for pirates.
Lately, piracy has become a business. Fishermen took off and decided to join along. People from inland have now pursued piracy. It's a way to make money.
And compared to fishing, piracy is an extremely lucrative business. In 2008 alone, Somali pirates made profits of up to $80 million in ransom payments. And much of this cash has been moved inland.
Piracy is usually associated with coastal towns, but that is not the norm here in Somalia. This is Garowe, the capital of Puntland, and it is where most of those who finance the lucrative business have set a base and coordinate their activities from. They have chosen it for its central location.
We met a well-known pirate, Abdulrashid Ahmed, nicknamed Jok Rafi, flush from the profits of a recent hijacking. Abdulrashid claimed that he and his colleagues had just received a ransom payment of 1.3 million from a Greek ship captured in February.
We had a very fast modern boats, which made it easy for us to capture the ship. We chased it and then we went on board while the ship was moving. We kept it hostage for 3 months.
Successful ventures like the one described by Geography help pay for future operations, leading to a self-financing local industry.
The way they are funded is that those who have been paid ransom sponsor the other ones. For example, if they're holding a ship and they are paid ransom and then another ship was captured, the first group will fund the second one. When preparing, about 4 or 5 men put some money together, and that's their starting funds. They might go the first time and come back with nothing, then a second time and a third time, and they could finally just go bust. It's also possible that they capture a ship in their first trip and then their funding becomes less expensive. They don't know where the ships are. They just go and search.
As piracy in Puntland has developed into an international issue, so pressure from within has grown for action to be taken. Abdulrahman Mohamed Mahmoud is the president of Puntland, and he took office in January on an anti-piracy platform.
People see the Somali youngsters with small boats hunting the big vessels, but they don't see who is behind that. They are not structured in such a way. They have an organization, a board of director, or someone who heading them and connecting them. They are linked in small groups to each other.
Fighting piracy is high on his agenda, with Coast Guard patrolling the waters. The challenge of monitoring more than 1 million square miles of ocean is daunting for such a fledgling and frail militia.
These men are Puntland's answer to the spiraling piracy on its waters, but they are ill-equipped and ill-trained to tackle the pirates who not only have faster boats, but have also many times outgunned them.
Night patrols have been stepped up in the region's major cities. Soldiers stop and search all travelers looking for suspects that might fit the pirate's profile.
You can't differentiate in this town who's a pirate and who isn't. Some will tell you that they drive certain car models, but hundreds who work for the government drive the same kind of car. Are they pirates too? You can't identify them or fight them. And if you fight them, there will always be new ones coming from the nomads who'd go to the sea and hijack ships. And then you see them driving the latest cars.
Despite the huge challenges, the authorities have had some success in battling the buccaneers.
In this prison alone are more than 100 convicted pirates, but they don't consider themselves criminals. They say that they are Somalia's Coast Guard, men serving their nation.
When we were arrested, we were Somalia's Coast Guard. We took the responsibility to guard our coast from the foreigners who fish and dump waste in our waters. We had taken the responsibility to protect our sea since we don't have a central government. I had been forcibly detained, and I have been here for 1.5 years.
Facing a prevalent sense of hopelessness, the gains from a potentially massive returns can seem worthwhile to countless young men, no matter how great the threat is at sea.
There are many who are new to this that went into the sea and they got lost. They didn't know how to swim or do anything else. We feel very sad about this. Many youngsters have died in the sea and some have disappeared. Others had been killed. Others had been taken into foreign countries, and others are now facing trials in France and the US.
They are the youths of this country. They are young Somalis, unemployed, uneducated, and they are young men who have no hope. It is part of the bigger problem faced by Somalia.
And according to the president, the outside world could be doing much more to assist.
We have managed to capture them, particularly in the main centers. But we are unable to catch them along the coast because it needs more organization. We do know that some countries are genuine in the operation. but they have not focused properly how to tackle the problem. And there is a lot of speculation that some warships are protecting their own trawlers, not hunting the pirates. That's the big speculation. We have suggested to the international community that the money they spent on high seas, on warships, if it is spent in fighting cooperation with our government, would be more successful than what they are doing at the moment.
But critics say that Puntland's authorities are not doing enough either. And there are even suggestions that they are complicit in the trade, suggestions rejected by the president.
How we could be involved if we are against the ransom payment? We are against the ransom payment because we consider it is fuel factor. And this ransom payment not only hurts the international community and the owners and the people who are become hostages, but also has spoiled our traditional values, our religious values.
GP2WO bearing red 90 warning shots.
But with an impoverished population reliant upon any income that comes its way, it is perhaps little wonder that the pirates continue to be harbored within the community.